And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. Lo, these 20-plus years for the Visionary Activist Show have we been convening. You know, welcome people who've been hanging with us in council for 20 years and those who are hopping on every week. We love that. So today, we all take it solo together, animating the desirable possibilities being so generously proffered to us through the Earth-Sky story at this time of dire beauty, etc., etc. We are in Fun Drive, yes. I will be playing the latter portion of my banquet speech at the NCGR conference in Baltimore, the National Council on Geocosmic something or other, reality. You know, that'll do. Yes, and because we're in Fun Drive, let me offer what's being proffered. So we will be offering that talk, which is pretty darn fantabulous, I must say, for a pledge of $50. So that's Caroline Casey talk at the National Council on Geocosmic Research. There we go. I'm also offering, as I often do as a wild card, one astrological reading with me, Caroline Casey, for a pledge of $1,000. That's why it's a wild card, going, sure, you can give it as a gift, you can use it yourself, it's wonderful. I'll be able to read with you pretty soon, now, even month of March, there we go. We are also offering the wonderful standby, the USB drive Voices That Change the World, which you all know, it's 3,500 hours of material. Angela Davis and Mario Savi and Stokely Carmichael and Huey Newton and Bobby Seale and John Coltrane and Martin Luther King and Bob Dylan and Gore Vidal and George Carlin and Rosa Parks and Molly Ivins. So it is 501-hour radio documentaries handcrafted. I like the image of the little elves backstage crafting them. You know, preserved at Pacifica Radio Archives. So that's great. 65 years, 65 voices, concentrating also black history, studies of black power, black Panthers, blacks in Hollywood, black poets, black authors, Nelson Mandela, Paul Robeson, oh, what a great voice. Women's history, audiobooks, and they even have Grammy restored recordings, Pacifica and politics, radio, arts, and it goes on and on again for your incredibly long car trip. There we go. And then religious studies. And due to Alan Watts, to whom I have, you know, I humbly bow down, been compared by listeners on KPFK. But for some reason, I'm not in the archives, so I'll make a pitch. Anybody who pledges the $200 for this USB drive, if you message me, I will also proffer something wonderful from the Visionary Activist Archives as a special private deal on the side. So you can have any or all of those things, an astrological reading with me. There's only one, phone room, keep that in mind, for a pledge of $1,000. That's all of me dedicated to all of you for in a session that's about 90 minutes, and we convene the full council of you, as we aspire to do on radio in a way, but this is more customized, so that each part of us can cultivate, animate, and contribute our considerable gifts to the community at this time of dire beauty in a way that is replenishing. There we go. So any or all of those things by calling 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732. 239-5732 or online at kpfa.org. Yeah, we have a great dynamic listenership, certainly in the Bay Area and also in Los Angeles, and then also the webcast and podcast. We have a truly global cahooting. It is wonderful because radio is magic. So I do a special shout out to our dedicated listeners in Japan, yes, and Australia, hi there, and Alaska, and South Africa, yeah, I hear from you. You can pledge online, kpfa.org, so that's great. So here we are. I turn often to Sufi books, you know, at a time, The Tales of the Dervishes by Idris Shah. I've had this book for decades, and here's just a very short little one-page story that I think is pertinent, because some of our teammates are often wonderful. And then, you know, and then they can lose their minds, which is why I love the one of the smartest things ever on American television is the 8-episode show Brain Dead. You can find it. It's still out there, but it was so smart they didn't keep it going. Also like The Brink from HBO, which was so smart they didn't keep it going. But Brain Dead is such a useful metaphor. It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, in which insects from outer space start to take over some people's minds, and it's characterized by thriving on conflict, unwillingness to compromise, quitting of drinking, a fascination with green drinks. They skewer everybody. And getting really, really organized, right, like the Dementors. And we go, ah. So after Trumpelstiltskin's, you know, I watched it. I felt much better when I turned the TV off. Well, and then Connect. Because one of the powerful metaphors that's being animated now, in the Zodiac is a symbol. It's like a person in deep gloom, unnoticed, a glowing circle of angels surrounds them. And that image is coming up over and over again, and it's so useful because alone we can all be that deep person in deep gloom. Together, we are the glowing circle of angels. So that's part of the value of radio, because here we all are, you know, in meeting in the invisible world, just voices to minds and telepathically back and forth. And alone, like, oh, you know, but together, there's so much we can experiment with to bring things alive now that we really want to. You know, for 20 years, this show has been dedicated to the wedding of trickster magic, again, that ingenuity in nature, to ingenious social action. And that's the sine qua non, that trickster medicine is the thing that makes all the other medicines effective. To tease all the molecules of democracy into every manner of our relating so that we treat each other with respect. Respect means to look again. Absolutely. So, but I did notice, you know, one of our teammates, a commentator on a wonderful person, but after Trump's speech, he goes, oh, you know, much was terrible, but that beautiful moment where Trump honored the widow of the SEAL team person who was killed in the horrible Yemen expedition. And the commentator said that's when he truly became president. That was beautiful. I'm like, oh no, Brain Dead, the space bugs got him temporarily, but we're going to help. So this Sufi story is called, from Tales of the Dervishes, When the Waters Were Changed. Once upon a time, Khidir, the teacher of Moses, called upon mankind with a warning. At a certain date, he said, all the water in the world, which had not been specially hoarded, would disappear. It would then be renewed with different water, which would drive men mad. Not a good kind of mad, not Majnun, mad for the divine, but a bad kind of delusional man, mad. Only one man listened to the meaning of this advice. He collected water, and he went to a secure place where he stored it and waited for the water to change its character. On the appointed date, the stream stopped running. The wells went dry, and the man who had listened, seeing this happening, went to his retreat and drank his preserved water. When he saw, from his security, the waterfalls again beginning to flow, this man descended among the other sons of men. He found that they were thinking and talking in an entirely different way from before. Like, oh, Trump's not so bad. Oh, that was a beautiful moment in his speech. And things like that. Yet they had no memory of what had happened, nor of having been warned. When he tried to talk to them, he realized that they thought he was mad, and they showed hostility or compassion, not understanding. At first, he drank none of the new water, but he went back to his concealment to draw on his supplies every day. Finally, however, he took the decision to drink the new water because he could not bear the loneliness of living, behaving, and thinking in a different way from everyone else. He drank the new water, and he became like the rest. And then he forgot all about his own store of special water, and his fellows began to look upon him as a madman who had miraculously been restored to sanity. Oh, admonishing Sufi traditional tales, oh, Kadir, thank you very much. And we go, all right, well, we're not going to have any of that, because we are connected by radio community, right? And again, the wonderful model of brain dead going, and when we see our teammates temporarily losing their minds in delusionalness and accepting the unfolding horrors as, you know, kind of okay, it's not for our Pacifica team so much, but it is out there, and we are all agents of sane reverence at this time, and we go, ah, well, there, okay. There are many things I want to bring before our council, and I have a number of councils online, and then there's us and our gathering in so many ways. But here's a little portion of what I was sending off to my different councils, and then here, larger, wonderful radio council. So, about magnetizing and animating. Now, the beautiful language of astrology, you know, again, one of the great guiding languages of the interrelatedness of everything from time immemorial, that has indeed, you know, been, you know, people have been hoodwinked into thinking of it as the gold standard of contempt and silliness, when in fact it's this beautiful, the first environmental language of pattern tracking. But it is a beautiful language. And it offers to the limitations of English, you know, when we talk about men and women and the masculine and the feminine, you know, and all of these words get hackneyed, you know, the divine feminine. I've heard it so much, it's like snoring. But we like, within us all are Mars and Venus, what they represent. Venus is a part of all of us that magnetizes, and Mars is a part that animates. So our councilmate, Joe Casey, had written, anima is soul. Doesn't animate mean putting soul into it? And I go, oh, that's perfect. We love this. The true purpose of Mars, within us all, is not the unimaginative horrific servitude to war and general reactive harumphitude, but to animate the desirable proffered by our artful Venus. You know, let's magnetize and animate the desirable as protectors. We're going to explain. So Dion Fortune, oft referenced in this show, and one of my kind of ancestral spirit auntie teachers, remember in World War II, the British government, so quirky, so interestingly conflicted, the British mind, so they not only formed Bletchley Park, which was for the code breakers, but they also funded the wizards and witches of Britain to do very specific spell work, and I want to bring that back up before our council, but in a tricksterized way. So Dion Fortune with her team in World War II, they were visualizing and depositing what they called desirable seeds within collective mind. So let us imagine quickening these seeds with lightning. And we know from our frequent radio guest in past, Paul Stamets and Great Ally, that lightning stirs mushrooms into sprouting. We love that. And also, again, you know, when our receptors are out, you know, people share more with us. I had a Nigerian cab driver once, we were talking about the state of the world and, you know, how terrible it was. And I said, but I'm going off to a conference where my buddy Paul Stamets will be presenting ingenious solutions to all these problems. He's a mycologist. And we went on like that. And he said, I've never told a white person this. I've never told a non-Nigerian person this. But, you know, in Nigeria, we have songs that we sing that are part of our alliance with nature. And certain songs we sing call the mushrooms to emerge. And I go, oh, thank you very much. That's really great. So remember, you know, again, shape-shifting, what is coming alive now, you know, the powerful magic that comes in dangerous times. Bodhisattva Coyote bestows upon us all a bag of liberating lightning for us to experimentally engage. And we love that whenever we encounter, you know, a daunted, depressed, despairing, or frightened habit pattern of our own. Let's imagine our customized trickster, you know, lightning, you know, so that together we hurl a little lightning sizzle to turn the boring dread circle into a spiral of well-wishing for self and world. So, the unfortunate, so quickening seeds with lightning. Here we go. So Dion Fortune, who was a great Kabbalistic scholar in Britain in the 30s, 40s, that kind of thing, and her Kabbalistic writings are dense and useful, and she had her own mystery school, which is was a tad stuffy, but worthy and in a tradition. But she did really come alive in a great way in World War II. And just also as a sidebar, she did put the sum of her knowledge into these novels that are quite wonderful. Not great literature, but quite wonderful, you know, about the possibilities of magic. As she said, the purpose of ritual magic is to spiral into group human mind, expanded wisdom and tolerance. We go, well, Radio is magic that way. So, Dion Fortune wrote, with enemy planes rumbling over, or it's actually Gareth Knight, in an introduction to a pretty fun book, The Magical Battle of Britain, The Letters of Dion Fortune. With enemy planes rumbling overhead, Dion Fortune organized a series of visualizations to formulate seed ideas in the group mind of the race. Archetypal visions to invoke angelic protection. What was sown will grow and bear seed. So Dion Fortune's magical act worked on several sound magical theories. She believed that trained ritualists, I'm going to call it also dedicated listeners. Okay, she believed that dedicated listeners could combine their efforts to influence the collective will of the British people or of the American and global people, not necessarily any one individual. She utilized easily recognizable culturally based spirits and egregores, I will explain, whose meaning would be intuitively understood by thousands of people. All right, little sidebar here. An egregor is a wonderful term. It means a magically conjured thought form, a template to which people agree to animate, to give it soul and vitality. And I would propose to our team now that Pacifica is an egregor. You know, that the goddess Pacifica, I mean, humans are befoibled, they come and go, but the goddess Pacifica is an egregor. You know, and that's also what we're calling upon, you know, all of us really to animate, and in this form, to animate in the form of sacred money. There we go, to this egregor. But to see Pacifica as a living being, we're going to be doing a show on March 23rd with Robert Hieronymus and Laura Kortner, who have written a very fun book, The Secret Life of Lady Liberty, all about the Statue of Liberty, goddess in the New World, they call it. And the architect of the Statue of Liberty spent a great deal of time in Egypt, where he encountered just wonderful images, paintings, and statues of women holding up illuminating and liberating light. So his first model for the Statue of Liberty was based on an Egyptian Muslim woman. Ha, ha, ha! The first basis for the Statue of Liberty was an Egyptian Muslim woman. And then he traveled to America, where he also studied and came across indigenous images, American Indian images of women holding illuminating light. And he goes, oh, these are good too. So he syncretized them. So the Statue of Liberty is a syncretized Egyptian indigenous image that speaks to our soul, very powerful, but we can spice her up, right? You know, it's also, there's a pretty good, realistic, interesting book called The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, Washington, D.C., and it's not a kind of New Age dingbat thing. It's that the Masons were really into ritual magic and in some form aware that what they were proposing would have to happen in the future, that quality of democracy. So they embedded around Washington, D.C., you know, astrologically dedicated images, like, you know, right outside the archives where the Declaration of Independence is, the Constitution, wait, I'm getting it mixed up, but the archives, important things, there's a statue of Isis. Isis, the real Isis, the goddess of nature. She's holding a baby and sheaves of wheat, and she's pouring forth the waters of life. And the archives are on top of where slaves were sold, because there was a river. It's the underground river Tiber, but it was above the surface then. And all around the city, you know, the Washington D.C., you can see eyes of Horus, you know, carved over archways, all kinds of stuff that we don't see unless we're looking. And we go, ah. And they said, it is for you humans in the future to animate, to bring things alive. This is a big theme in reality and in mythology, that our ancestors placed things for us to be quickened at a time of great danger, which we're in. So you remember the legends of King Arthur and also High John the Conqueror. You can read about that in Zora Neale Hurston's fantastic essay, High John, in her, you know, collected stories. High John the Conqueror, great trickster redeemer of the South, you know, interested in liberating everybody, even the mind of the slaveholder, finishes everything off with a laugh. a great folk hero about whom Zora Neale wrote, you know, High John was not a man at first, but a will to freedom. And then as people animated this, right, it put on flesh, and then the flesh became a drumbeat as he strode across the earth, you know, and he's awaiting. And like King Arthur, who did not die, who goes to wait in Avalon for a time, at a time of danger, to be called back, so High John the Conqueror does not die. He resides in High John the Conqueror Root, a really great root. I have it around my house because it's about wise, positive masculine. And it's said that High John awaits the world's call at a time of danger, like King Arthur. And we go, now would be really good. Just like the qualities in Washington, D.C., you know, await, like, yes, oh, spirit of true democracy, rise up. That we as humans, just by ourselves, cannot possibly, you know, redress the innumerable horrible crises we've invoked on our planet, and the bad manners and all, but we can see everywhere the fact that indivisible, with justice and liberty for all, that there's an indivisible self-organizing chapter in every congressional district in this country. It's alive! It's alive, and it is partnering with Gaia, the actual intelligence of the earth, you know, out of this horrific onslaught, this war on reverence, this war on life, that is very old, but it's at its particularly odious technological effectiveness now. So let us all be protectors. Let us redefine the task of Mars as not to be chained to the unimaginative slavery of war, but to be protectors and animators and cooperators, willing cooperators, because cooperators are standing by. So, back to Dion Fortune for a moment here. She believed that trained ritualists, and we're going to say that dedicated listeners, could combine their efforts to influence the collective will. She utilized easily recognized culturally based spirits and egregores whose meaning would be intuitively understood by thousands of people. So I want to pitch to our team, Statue of Liberty is good, but so is the goddess Pacifica, the goddess of, you know, peace. And, you know, and as our wonderful frequent radio guest, Deborah Felmuth, just back from Syria, reminds us, Salam, peace in Arabic, and Shalom, peace in Hebrew, is not the absence of war, it's the presence of oneness. Right? And this is part of our dynamic, that humans all separate, all separate, all separate. And as the Mabinogian, you'll hear this too, and I've said it a million times, but it's still so pertinent. The Mabinogian 10th century, pre-10th century story said, oh, it's going to be bad for humans. They're going to set forth on their individual thing, and, you know, lose kinship until the earth might die. And then, we're going to repeat this in this hour, at that point, some people will keep all the value of their individual journey, but join back into oneness. And that's us, team. Who brought what? You know, who brought what to this dynamic, to this dynamic time? And today we're asking for your energetic blessing in the form of money. Let's redeem money. Money was once sacred. Let's redeem it by dedicating it to something wonderful. And let me remind our team that I'm offering one astrological reading with me. And I must say, if I do say so myself, I'm doing my best work ever with others in this capacity. You know, we convene the full council of you via the beauty of the astrological chart, which is just a factual map that we say everything factual is also metaphoric, real map, symbolic map of the interior community of you, and then off we go. You know, it's nothing to believe in, it's something to resonate with, and it is highly effective magic. So I'm offering one of those, a 90-minute session with me on Skype or Zoom or phone or in person if you're in D.C. There we have it, for a pledge of $1,000. I'm only offering one. Because I love this station, and I love this show, and I love the dedicated listeners, and we're just getting started. I also want to honor the chart of Pacifica, KPFA, born April 15th, 1949. It's coming alive! It's coming alive! It's becoming more increasingly democratic, and it is, of course, all of us. You know, it is a phenomenal miracle, really, you know, when we realize that Pacifica is now the only predominantly listener-sponsored, supported network in America. No corporate donations. You know, some every now and then CPB stuff that appears and goes away and appears and goes away, but it's a miracle, really. And we love miracles. So inviting you to be part of that miracle. So if you feel the wild card move to, for yourself or someone you love, you know, pledge for the astrological reading with me, which will be pretty darn wonderfully fun, and you will be a top scheduling priority for myself, you can call 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. But better to call, because there's only one, 1-800-439-5732. And you never know. I might never offer that again. Who knows? And I'll be playing a little the last portion of the talk that I gave at the National Council on Geocosmic Research Banquet in Baltimore last week for a pledge of $50. And then we also have the USB drive Voices That Change the World for a pledge of $200, all by calling 1-800-439-5732, or pledging online, kpfa.org, just to keep this whole thing going here. So I want us to animate, and again, I think the money counts. I really do. We want to think of it as blessing. And when you call, you know, just for the fun of it, you know, dedicated acts of beauty invite power into the world. So simply adding, you know, in one's own heart by pledging this money, and I should also add, any amount is really welcome. We love the $50 for the talk. We love the $1,000 wild card for one, only one reading. We love the $200 for the USB, 35, whatever it is, it's some 1,350 hours of material. We love that. But also add the, you know, your own interior blessing. You know, may this be a voice for all of us. May this be increasingly reliable. Because it is. You know, we're so grateful. I mean, after the Dementor, Trumpelstiltskin speech, conniption inducing, only one of our teammates that I know of did the space bugs eat part of his brain, but he can recover. He can recover. You know, and so grateful for sanity, you know, grateful for Michael Moore, grateful for the voices of sanity that this network and this show bring to us, going, oh, because it relaxes us. When we know we're part of a team, we're part of the glowing circle of angels. When we feel alone, we're a person in deep gloom, like, oh, whaley, whaley, oh, my goodness, oh, how terrible, there we go. So there is all of that. So, again, I'm enchanting and enchanted by the prospect that Pacifica is an egregore, is a thought form awaiting feeding and animation, powerful. And that's really backed up by the transits. Again, April 15th, 1949, 3 p.m. in Berkeley is the birth of KPFA, the network, and the great mothership, KPFA. I always kiss the earth when I enter, because her spirit is there, and if we feed it, that's what we're really feeding. I'm really all for that. So Dionne Fortune created simple acts of magic that could easily be easily imitated and contributed to by a wide range of individuals in disparate geographic locations. Yes, hello, dedicated ritualists and listeners everywhere. She was doing a working in a cause that thousands of people were passionate about. So it's like yes, absolutely, the indivisible and the standing up. And yes, and we go, yeah, Jeff Sessions is recusing himself. And we go, that's just the beginning. We're seeing him gone, fired, you know, one by one. The Dementors gone, you know, before they can do as much harm as they have in mind. Just, no, you know, and that's why we do all common sense things. But when we add a little bit of trickster spice, we invite in that which is stronger than ourselves. When we say, may anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and in the fullness of time be an occasion for mirth. But yeah, the revelation of the incredible dingbat, delinquent, dementor, sociopathic, you know, agency at work, those space bugs people, you know, to attempt to deport a woman in a hospital with a brain tumor and put her in handcuffs, tell her she's going to a hospital and take her to a jail. To stop, you know, Muhammad Ali's son and mother at the airport. Well, what you got a funny sounding name, you know, the Australian writer Mem, who, you know, was like deeply affronted. And again, the unleashing of this kind of swaggering, uninitiated Mars sociopathy in the form of, you know, unrestrained, you know, anyway, until now. So where I want to bring it before our council here, our radio council, is as ally Dion Fortune was dedicated to planting seeds in group mind. Oh, that's good. That's good. Let's tricksterize it. Let's toss quickening lightning at these seeds, as lightning encourages mushrooms to grow. They go, yeah, let's go for that. So let's listen to a little portion of the talk that I gave at the at the NCGR banquet in Baltimore. A weekend before ago. So if the worst of humans is being invited, it behooves us to invite the best of humans. You know, again, that's the purpose of ritual magic has always been to spiral into expanded group mind, expanded tolerance and wisdom. And each according to their own custom. You can sit in a cave and send out a prayer. You know, you can be in the streets. You can be, you know, speaking to a beautiful part of somebody's psyche and deep counseling. All of it with the dedication, you know, is powerful. You know, but I love the sacred trickster, and I ran into a colleague in Cleveland, Vermin Supreme, who always runs for president as a satirical thing. But he was great in Cleveland, not so good in Philadelphia. We got kicked out. But in Cleveland, you know, he was in the street, and as the protesters, I prefer protectors, because remember, the word protest comes from testes, right? It comes from grab your balls. It does. It's why women can't testify. We can ovify, right? So, but it does. Leviticus 2. But anyway, so as there were protectors or demonstrators, you know, and the cops on bicycles kind of closing in, and Vermin said, you got to disrupt tyranny at that point, because fear plays into the hands of tyrants. So as the cops start to close in, he takes a megaphone, and he says to the cops, remember to do it like we rehearsed it, lads, right? Introducing a quality of confusion in the narrative, going, whoa. And then he said, you cops on the left on your bicycles, you're not as even on the ones on the right. And they began to be like, now they were in grade school, right? And then it got tense again, and he had the crowd chant, give the cops a raise. Give the cops a raise. But whoa, okay. Now we're in a different story. Like, whoa, again, unexpectedness, you know, unexpected language, unexpected story liberates everybody into a whole new story. You know, so we do love that. You know, part of what was going on in Cleveland was, you know, Venus was just emerging from the underworld in Leo as the evening star. And I remember Bruce Schofield, you know, teaching about the Quetzalcoatl relationship, you know, to Venus. And remember, you know, it was Venus goes to the underworld and then returns. And in Mesoamerica, it's the return of the wise leader. And there was a unfortunate historic thing that when Quetzalcoatl was supposed to return, mythologically in everyone's heart, you know, that's when Cortez the thug showed up, and they mistook the human thug for the mythological return. Well, that's what was going on in Cleveland at that same time. Venus was, they wanted the king, and it's like, no, in every heart, not there we go. So what is the con, the imprisoning toxic mimic, and what is the liberating trickster redeemer? Now, I love the half for real, half apocryphal, but, you know, if it's not true, let's make it true, story about in World War II, not only did the British fund Bletchley Park and Codebreakers, but they also funded the wizards and witches to gather together in England to weave, you know, to weave a spell of protection over England. And as I stood under the stars on the last night in Cleveland, and I had a terrible moment of knowing, even though later I'd go, oh, we can work with Hillary, even though she's got no story. She has no story. Going, it'll be okay. No. You know, but I go, calling all wizards and witches, calling all wizards and witches, you know, and calling all people emerging from their witness relocation program, you know, no matter how, you know, even as astrologers, it still can be a guise, going, we need everybody, you know. And I do want to do a little honoring also our ancestors. Joan Quigley, right, right-wing Vassar astrologer, but she had her moment because she really did say to Nancy and Ronnie, you know, you got to cut this evil empire stuff with Russia. You can really work it with Gorbachev. And she really did do that. I mean, she, so we go, thank you, thank you. You know, Matthew Arnold said, to be cultured is to be acquainted with the highest possibilities of the human spirit throughout time. And I think that's a good start. But I don't want to limit it to humans. Highest possibility of wolves, highest possibility of whales, you know, all of the, all of our fellow equals really on this planet. You know, I'd written a long time ago when I was writing a book with a tyrannical editor, you know, when there was a flood in Pavlov's laboratory, none of the surviving dogs retained the least trace of their conditioning. You know, can the great upheaval of human events have less effect on humans than a flood on dogs? And my grumpy editor said, you know, Caroline, your readers will not know who Pavlov is. Take this whole thing out. I'm like, rah, 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 rah. But fortunately, I had an Aquarius disinterested ghost editor. She goes, no, don't worry about that. And she just sat down and typed, the name Pavlov should ring a bell. And we stuck it all back in there. We go, she had no, and we put it all back in, causing the editor to go, oh, but that was fun too, because, you know, again, we're allowed to set in motion anything of which we would be the happy recipients. You know, and at that point, you know, dealing with small tyranny and large, you know, a very useful one is, may anyone abusing power be moved to a place they can no longer harm themselves by harming others. And we take that in, going, if I were abusing power, would I mind, you know, and no, let it rip. You know, and that has some very interesting results. You know, we're re-wedding activism with animism. All these things that have been falsely estranged. We know that, I love neuroscience, last year came out with a study that said, we have discovered that humans remember things better when they're in stories. We go, you cute little whippersnapper, neuroscience, that's adorable. But we know that cultures passed on their science symbolically embedded in their fairy tales and their myths, right? You know, in the alleged Enlightenment, you know, the kind of uninitiated Mars team said, we don't need this mythic language, this astrology stuff, this fairy tale stuff. We want just the science. And we're going to put mackerel genes in this tomato because we're unsupervised. And so what it did was it stripped away the moral cocoon, the salam, the oneness, that all knowledge be used with a moral spiritual dedication of its infinite repercussions on the whole team. You know, so I'm thinking the strategies before us are about saturation point. You know, when the atmosphere becomes so saturated with lies, it's like you have salt dissolved in water, and then you add one more grain of salt and it falls out. You know, it's like the really still useful movie 7 Days in May, where it gets corrupt, 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 and then it's like, no, can't. People back out. I talk a lot with NSA whistleblowers, right? And they were in the NSA for 40 years, right? And then they were like, after 40 years, that's enough, right? You know, and then but everybody's got their moral point, and I think that behooves all of us to be inviters. I love the Saturn-Uranus, the wolf-coyote mating. Scientists call them coy wolves. I call them wolf-oties. just a few last little bits I want to bring in here. I also want to, you know, invite in all the ancestors we love and wonderful buddy Jim Lewis, years and years ago, creator of astrocartography. But he said to me, look at Jupiter and Pluto squared. He said, incredible for publicity. I thought that was odd. But I noticed it was true enough, you know, and I go, well, why, being more mythological? Well, Jupiter is storytelling, Pluto's death and rebirth, what gets us through the underworld. We're all gathering that, what gets us through, you know. But so Pluto's, one of a great totem for Pluto is the phoenix, right? So I go, Jupiter, Pluto, the story of the phoenix. And one of the less known stories is that before the phoenix bursts into flames and is reborn, it sings this hauntingly beautiful song. And all of creation stops what they're doing and listens to the phoenix's song and is reminded of what's really important: beauty and art and kindness and symbiosis and syncretism and reciprocal blessing. And then the phoenix bursts into flames, right? So in a collective transit that, you know, language grants us access to the realm it describes. If we can speak of it, we can journey there. Before all of us, there's a backstage whisper to each person that says, what is your phoenix's song? And in what form would you sing it? And it doesn't want a snappy answer. It wants to be a koan. You know, it wants to add wonder. And that's where we want to honor Neptune before we complete. You know, We wonder, even when we use the word wonder and as a mudra, you know, we hold our arms in a graceful curve, turning our bodies into a magnetizing, beseeching chalice of inquiry. We wonder. You know, and see, the ancient world, not knowing was considered a fantastic accomplishment. Look, those humans have run out of certainty. What a great accomplishment for them. You know, now the divine can find them. You know, so certainty is a booby prize, right? But to wonder is to invite in the answer. We wonder, each one of us, perhaps, what our phoenix's song is. And the internal dedication magnetizes the outward opportunity. And the poignancy of so much death, you know, when the Bamiyan Buddhas were exploded in Afghanistan, but we say, may the invisible prayerful dedication embodied in those Buddhas be released into the memosphere by the destruction of their form. And when so much was destroyed in Syria, you know, we can only say, may the beauty that was embodied, you know, be wafted out into the world. So Neptune and Pisces, I think of it as the backstage gods are convening, going, we're going to have to either kill the humans or heal them. Let's try healing them first. Let's make everything that has ever moved humans to conscious kinship available for fresh, vernacular, innovative expression. Every piece of poetry, every beautiful astrological language, everything. You know, everything is working, is wishing for us. It's like the backstage gods are eating popcorn, watching, going, oh my God, God, I hope they ask us in. You know, we would love to be invited incarnationally on stage, but we have to be invited as part of the ally etiquette. And I think of that Neptune thing, that all the myths, everything we love, are all rooting for us. You know, part of it is who brought what to this Renaissance. You know, every piece of so many dedicated people here who have so much great knowledge. I really love going to the Egyptian mythology lecture this afternoon. I go, wow, all the geometry. It's a DMT experience. Well, because we don't rule out the entheogenic plants that are also trying to help us, going, you can study Egyptian geometry or dose on DMT. It's, oh my God, the geometry. But the Mabinogian, the Welsh Arthurian legends gathered in 10th century, but the stories are much older. There's a powerful moment where the elders get together and go, uh-oh, the men just found out they have something to do with children, and things were going so well before then, and we can see what's going to happen. We can see women and children as property, and we can see that humans are going to journey on their individual journey, you know, until they lose kinship not only with each other but with nature, until the earth herself might die. Think about this, and then at that time, you know, some people will keep all the value of their individual journey, right? But join back into salam, into oneness as well. And we go, well, you know, as we have a number of different toasts to finish, I am going to wrap up, but we go, how about a toast to our willingness to be those people? Right? Who's up for that? We are willing that that influential, sane reverence assume cultural narrative lead. Yeah, there's a wonderful quote that says, listen for your destiny, and when it calls, release your plans. So there's two last blessings I love. There's the circus blessing, which is alley-oop, right? It's when you help somebody to reach the trapeze. So let's just do a little alley-oop toast. Alley-oop, alley-oop, right? And the last is a word, Eritrean word, it is beautiful. It's Aizan, and it means may you have the power to sustain you on a difficult, powerful journey before you. So let us say Aizan, Aizan, Aizan. Thank you, team. Yay, team. This is Caroline Casey, the Visionary Activist Show. We are KPFA in Fun Drive. And that was just the very end of a talk that I gave at a banquet at the National Council on Geocosmic Research in Baltimore a weekend ago. I played a little bit of it last week and playing just a little smidge, the very ending there. But it is pretty good. Some of you have been hanging with me for a long time going, I've heard that thing about the Mabinogi. And it's like, yes, but hear it again. There is sourdough starter. I do repeat some things, but I do vow that I only repeat them with, you know, deep enthusiasm. Remember, the word enthusiasm comes from enthusos, that which makes the divine within us dance. Because some of these memes are so potent now, and we, you know, they are proffered that we can tease them into experimental application. You know, so I would propose to our dedicated listeners now a toast, like in the recording, you know, for our willingness to be those people who keep all the value of their individual, of all of our individual journey, who brought what, who knows engineering, who knows permaculture, who knows this, who knows, you know, a special shout out to entheogenic enthusiasts. As you know, it's a special love of this show to honor the entheogenic plants and sacraments and the microdosing. A lot, many shows in the past, many shows lined up as well, support this thing, because the plants and the entheogens are also trying to heal humans of colonialism and to heal human sense of kinship. So important, you know. So a toast for our willingness to be those people, that we bring everything that we know how to do, you know, and then with our willingness to join into salam, into shalom, into oneness. So a toast, everybody, a toast. A toast and an encouragement, you know, to donate to Pacifica, and the Visionary Activist Show, Pacifica, the egregore, the thought form awaiting animation by dedicated wolf, and dedicated wolf in this form, in the form of sacred money, to keep going the miracle of a radio station network show that really is brought alive truly by the community pledging, no corporate, you know, huzza. It is a miracle. So as far as I know, it is possible that the one astrological reading I am offering to some lucky and pretty wealthy listener for a pledge of $1,000, I guess it's still there. I don't know. I'm not hearing from the phone room. We don't know. Okay. Except telepathically, we wonder. But apparently there's still one astrological reading that I'm donating. It's 90 minutes with me on the phone or Skype or Zoom. A pretty fun technology. We get to, you know, video Kahoot if we want, really great. And that's for a pledge of $1,000 by calling 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732, or online at kpfa.org. Also offering, I guess it's a CD. They're listing it as a CD of my talk at the National Council on Geocosmic Research. That's for a pledge of $50. Yes, come one, come all. You might have heard some of that before, but give it to a friend. There we go. But it's pertinent now as we are, you know, composting compensatory condescension as a sneaky form of our complicity with colonialism. Yes, a toast just for alliteration, just because condescension means we all go down together. I mean, literally, we're, you know, and it is a sneaky part of many of us. All of us, we're all befoibled, but we're all working on the thing. So, and just to look at Trumpel-Stiltskin's kind of downward frowny thing, that's compensatory condescension. But we want to release any of our complicity with sneaky colonialism, meaning to look down or up at someone eliminates magic, is not egalitarian. People have different roles on stage, you know, as whatever the thing is, you know, but the only form of really democratic address is straight across. Hey, how you doing? You know, Uranus the trickster overhead now with Mars coming up on KPFA's chart, very exciting. Uranus for the first time in 84 years, and KPFA is not even that old. KPFA's 68, a mere 68, just in the prime, just getting the thing. Yay, 68-year-olds. Yay, entheogenic enthusiasts. Yay, people who tell me that their dog likes listening to the show. Yay, people in prison who like listening to the show. Pledge for them who cannot. Pledge for your dog. Pledge for your teammate in prison. You know, pledge for the $1,000 for the astrological reading for somebody who might really like that, but who, you know, couldn't do that thing, because it's a twofer. You know, it's you get a fun thank you gift. We are not equating what we offer as thank you gifts. You know, they're thank you gifts, right? So it's like, there you go, and you can have this wonderful talk for a pledge of, as a thank you gift for a pledge of $50. You can have the USB drive, Voices That Changed the World, 800 million hours of material. No, it's 1,350 hours of material for a $200 donation. It's 164 GB USB drive for a pledge of $200. Any or all of those things can be yours by calling 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-HEY-KPFA, or kpfa.org. But remember, I'm really up for this, that Pacifica herself is an egregore, is a thought form awaiting food and positive animation and the dedication of money to keep the whole thing going. I think it's democratic fun. And remember, what is unique about this show, and beautiful teammate Karen Sanders, I think we started around the same time, is that we are deeply, and you know, again, composting colonialism in all of its sneaky forms. You know, and remember, you know, when the reality police snookered good-hearted people into becoming condescending about the whole realm of metaphysics, you know, that's a sneaky form of colonial virus, you know. And it is, oh, never mind, don't need to go into the Dementor part. Anyway, but so we release that because it is the crucial thing of all the indigenous parts of all of us. Only by cooperating with nature's wise guiding ingenuity that takes wonderful forms, you know, see what animals are showing up in your life. You know, where's the hawk? Where's the crow? Where's the, you know, mad coyote? Where's the plant? Where's the whatever it is? These are all allies proffering partnership. You know, anthropologists call this idea of cooperative animism transactional spirituality. We go, oh, that's such a stuffy term, you know. Bless their little anthropological hearts. And remember the Haitian saying, when the anthropologist arrives, the gods depart. but again, here's what we're up to. Remember, you know, a toast for our willingness to be those people who are, that the Mabinogian in the 10th century referred to. Let's honor our beautiful, beautiful teammate, Berta Cáceres, who was murdered a year ago for her beautiful work on behalf of the environment. And it was also her teammates at the Goldman Environmental Awards who did a beautiful honoring in which they also chanted, Berta didn't die, she multiplied, right? It gives us goosebumps, you know, and we go, right, the ancestors, the animals, the plants, everyone's counting on us, you know, and that's why it's especially wonderful, again, to be able to contribute to something that you love, which is, and the Visionary Activist Show is one way that we gather to give voices critique and solution on multi-dimensional ways, all about, you know, composting compensatory condescension and any complicity with sneaky colonialism. Because colonialism is very sneaky. You know, when people finger wag going, we go, ah, that's colonial, no matter what label you put on your butt. We go, right. So it's about becoming authentic. The trickster quality in nature in us loves authenticity. And it's the aspiration towards that. I mean, we all blow it. We're all befoibled. But it's the dedicated aspiration. You know, and that's, you know, part of, you know, what we're asking to vote for, to vote to keep this show, you know, funded and going, and to keep this station going. And then the goddess Pacifica herself as an egregore. I like it. You know, and because it's so crucial, you know, coming alive right now, an opportunity for all of us as the razzmatazz swindle becomes clear to everyone. You know, we do all want to be irresistible inviters to sane, reverent renaissance rising from the rubble. Come on over here. Come on over here. Here's where we're going. To assume cultural narrative lead, not just reacting, which is why resistance is a great word to start with, but to move on to persistence, because resistance is an Aikido losing move, because it's always resisting against something, which just it's a good start. It's a good start. We're grateful. It's a lot of energy that then wants to be, you know, keep shape-shifting, become unexpected. You know, disruption in service to democracy and harmony. What a good idea. You know, and language grants us access to the realm it describes. If we can speak of it, we can journey there. You know, we go, yes, let's do that. So we are in our fun drive. Let me remind you again, we have wonderful shows planned coming up, as well as 20 years of archives behind us. And due to some, you know, I don't know, weird exclusion, I do not seem to be in the Pacifica Archives of Voices That Changed the World. But never mind that. We, Trickster, works around it. So if you pledge for the USB drive Voices That Change the World, just get in touch with me, info@coyotenetworknews.com, and I will provide you some fun thing from the Coyote Network News Visionary Activist Show archives, just for fun. There we go. So again, this idea of saturation, there's this huge opportunity of available that we all become ingenious story crafters. Ingenious story crafters. Come on over here. Let's go. We need the ornery, disobedient, yes, there's something for you, aren't you against eminent domain, that we be effective agents of actual democracy, and that we do compost any sneaky complicity with colonialism. It's very sneaky. That we truly, you know, embody, again, aspire to embody. So again, on our way out, we're slowly on our way out, but, you know, proffering to you, haven't heard from the phone room, don't know what's going on, but let's assume that it's possible that the astrological reading with me is still available for a pledge of $1,000. For a pledge of $50, as a thank you gift, we send you the CD of my talk at the National Council on Geocosmic Research. Pretty darn good. Brings us up to speed. For a pledge of $200, Voices That Change the World, and you can get in touch with me, and I'll give you something extra, info@coyotenetworknews.com. If you want to get in touch with me for something fun, I'd be happy to send your way. But that is, you know, everybody you've ever heard of, almost 1,350 hours for a pledge of $200 by calling 1-800-439-5732 or 1-800-HEY-KPFA, or donate online to kpfa.org. And no matter what, just encourage the visualizing of seeing Pacifica as a being, you know, that we bring alive and pledge energy, pledge money, pledge energy, pledge imaginative vitality, that this is her time. And that would be borne out. You know, it's possible. There is no fixed future. You know, there are things that are proffered that it behooves us to animate in a desirable fashion, lest we leave them by default to the Dementors. Remember when Pacifica was born, April 15th, 1949, right next to an eclipse, pretty close to an eclipse, the sun, basic central self, and Venus is in the underworld then, gathering wits for a renaissance, and what's called the North Node, all at 25 plus Aries. The image for that is a woman bursting with more gifts than she can hold. That's what this KPFA Visionary Activist Show, Pacifica Radio, really is. So much, so much. So pledge to that, that we may all be the glowing circle of angels in high response. Again, like everybody at the airports, like everybody going, no, a rising up. The horror unfurling before us is catalyzing our protective ingenuity and our willingness to cooperate with everything. And we say magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything. And I love Terry Pratchett saying, magic is easy. You find the tipping point and push right there. Well, this is one of those times. This is one of those tipping points. And to bring Aikido in, because we also have shows on Aikido lining up for April, so powerful, which is not even push, but walk right into it, the whole body, one's whole being going, tush. And it's such a powerfully strategic time to do that. So, yes, the tipping point. This is a powerful time. You know, it's all, some things are always true, but it's times when it's truer. And so your pledge, your donation is a really great energetic sacrament at this point. Thanks always to Timmy Olmsted in Washington, D.C., Erica Bridgman in Berkeley, the whole team, Pacifica herself. Hello, hello, hello. Feed her, feed her. Let's all feed her. I'm Caroline Casey, again, CoyoteNetworkNews.com, and message me at info@CoyoteNetworkNews.com if you would like to pledge for $200 for the thing and you'd like something extra. I'll happy